Hello and welcome again to our weekly reflection from Christchurch Selly Park. If you normally join us, you're very welcome. And if you've never joined us before, if this is your first time, you're still welcome. If you want to find out more about us, we're a church based in Selly Park during normal times. We do most of our things online, but we are starting to open up a little bit for private prayer. If you want to keep up to date with what's happening, go to our web address and you'll find out more about us and more about the activities that go on. We're following through the series called The Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon that Jesus preached, and we find it right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 onwards, and various people have been addressing different subjects. This morning, Chris Turner is going to open up the subject of loving those who oppose us, and Ellie is going to do the Bible reading for us. Before we hand over to Chris and Ellie, let's just pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus bringing us your word, he the living word, and leaving us the written word. And by your Spirit, we thank you that you open up that written word to us. Lord, this morning, or whatever time of day it is that we're watching this, help us to hear you speaking to us, to know your presence with us. Lord, keep this from just being some kind of exercise that we go through, but by your Spirit, help us to hear you speaking through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's reading is Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the latest thrilling instalment of the Sermon on the Mount, when we're looking in chapter 5 of Matthew at the last two of six sayings of Jesus, that he begins with the words, you have heard it said, but I say to you. He's talking about the Old Testament law, and he says, I'm not going to abolish it. But you've heard lots of things said in the Old Testament law, but I say to you, I've come to fulfill it. And he's going to actually make it more demanding, not less demanding. And he kicks off with asking us to examine our pride. You have heard it said, he said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evil man. The Old Testament law allowed you to retaliate, but Jesus says, no, that's not my way. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the left one. Don't retaliate. I guess we've all seen the costume drama of old where one man slaps his opponent on his cheek by the back of his hand and the other man says, I demand satisfaction. Pistols at dawn. Because his pride has been hurt. And Jesus says, well, are you willing to let go of your pride? If that's all it is, let go of it. And then what about the one who wants to sue you for his tunic, let him have your cloak as well. A tunic was an undergarment that didn't really matter very much, but a cloak was really important. Some people only had one, and they wore it during the day, and they slept under it during the night. It was an essential. Well, Jesus is saying, what's your feeling about your possessions? Are you willing to give away the things that don't matter very much? Okay. What about the things that you think are essential, like your cloak? Are you willing to let go of those too? And let go of your pride, let go of your possessions? And then what about the time someone slaps you on the shoulder and commands you to carry some luggage or something for a mile or so? It was like the Roman soldier who would tap you on the shoulder, as happened to Simon of Cyrene, and he had to carry the cross. Well, people hated it. It was an irksome task. They knew it was going to come their way one time. But Jesus says, well, don't just go 1 mile. Be willing to go a second mile. Never mind what's in your diary. Never mind about the time. Are you willing to give away your time? Give away your pride? Give away your possessions? Give away your pride? And then lastly, what about the person who comes asking to borrow money? Are you willing to suffer financial loss because they may not be able to repay you in these COVID days? What about money? Will you give that away too? So Jesus is actually setting quite a high standard, isn't he? And asking us to examine our attitudes towards our possessions and towards our pride and our time and our money. But then the most difficult one, I suspect, is the one he comes to next, where he says, you have heard it said, love your neighbour, but hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Well, I mean, that's an entirely different matter, isn't it? Now, why does he say something like that? Why love your enemy? Well, of course, hate, if you return hate for hate rather than love, hate eats you up. And it affects the other people around you that you interact with because you're carrying it. But it also causes much pain to everybody. But also, love can change an enemy into a friend. Abraham Lincoln had a number of sworn opponents, one of whom was a chap called Edwin Stanton, who would deride Abraham Lincoln and would denounce him in public. When Lincoln became president, he was looking for a man to take up office as Secretary of State for War. And he decided that despite all that Stanton had done, he was the best man for the job. So he appointed him. And when Lincoln died, there were many eulogies spoken, but the most moving one was by Edwin Stanton, who said he was the finest man he had ever met. He was an enemy who was turned into a friend by the love of Abraham Lincoln. But another reason for loving your enemy, says Jesus, is because then you're like your Heavenly Father, who treats everybody the same. I hope you know that your Heavenly Father loves you very much. But I wonder if you realize that he loves the terrorist or the rapist just as much as he loves you. He hates what they do, just as he hates some of the things you and I do. But he loves us all the same. And we know that because he sends the rain and the sun on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He treats us all the same, and that includes his enemies. Rosemary Taylor was a black woman who suffered badly during the apartheid era in South Africa. Amongst other things, her husband was taken from her, and he was beaten to death by an Afrikaner officer. After the end of apartheid, there were a number of trials took place in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and the man who had murdered Rosemary Taylor's husband was brought before the court and found guilty. And Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who was chairing the commission, said at the end, now I'd like to leave the last word with Mrs. Taylor. Do you have anything you wish to say to this man? And what would you wish to happen to him? And she said, I wish that he would be brought to my house and to live in my house as my son. And she walked over to the dock, gave this man a hug and said, I forgive you in Jesus' name because he has forgiven me. Just like your Heavenly Father, that, says Jesus, is to love your enemies. And lastly, it shows to the world whom you're serving. If you love just the people who love you, says Jesus, what different are you? Different is it from anybody else? But if you love your enemy, then it's very clear that you have a higher authority and you serve someone much more important. Well, I wonder if this all sounds rather tough, and it is tough, not easy. We can't do it on our own. So how are we going to do it? Well, Jesus doesn't command us to do something we can't do. May I suggest you remember who you are? You are a child of the living God, who is our Heavenly Father. And you can go to him and say to him, Father, I can't do this, but I want to. Would you please help me? And you'll find that he will give you all you need, even in the most difficult of circumstances, to love your enemies. Why not give it a try?
Thank you, Chris, for bringing God's word to us. Maybe we should pause. Maybe you'd want to pause your recording at this point and just think of one or two things that Chris has said. Maybe focus on those things, hit home to you or to me personally, and use those as springboards to take to God and say, Lord, will you help me in this particular area of my life? Will you help me to overcome in this particular area where I'm struggling? The book that we're following through each week, The Good and Beautiful Life, that these talks are based on, also has each week for us what's called a soul training exercise, where we can try to put into action some of the things we've been hearing about. And this week the subject is praying for our competitors, praying for the success of our competitors. Now, I only started this a couple of days ago. I don't feel I have any real enemies. I don't feel I have any real competitors. But I'm praying for a couple of people who perhaps I don't get on with as well as I'd like to or I should. I've only been doing it a couple of days, and it's perhaps too soon to say anything that's happened with me or in the situation. Why not try it? What harm can come from doing what Jesus said and loving those who oppose us, praying for those who would mistreat us? Or in my case, it's not that serious, but let's just go on and put it into practice, shall we? Our prayers this morning are led by Maggie, so over to Maggie now for our prayers.
There are so many things in the world that cause us to be concerned, and sometimes it's hard to know where to start when we pray. So this morning I've chosen a few areas of the world that have been on my heart in the past week. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning very conscious of the pain, the sadness, the suffering, the fear and desperation that there is in our world. We pray for the people of Lebanon, and particularly those in Beirut, who have been made homeless, have suffered injuries and lost loved ones due to the blast that devastated that city last week. We pray that a new government is formed there. It will be made up of good people who will seek to bring justice and peace to this troubled nation. We also think of the vast country of China and the tensions that this regime is causing in Hong Kong and throughout the world. We pray for the minority Uyghur Muslim people who are being held and tortured there in horrific ways. May world leaders have the courage to denounce these atrocities and to bring about change. And nearer home, we think of the plight of the many desperate people who are risking their lives to escape the horrors of war, famine and persecution, and attempting to cross the English Channel. We pray that the French and UK governments will act together in compassion and wise ways to help these people, to stop the criminal gangs who are profiting from their distress, and to address the underlying causes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. COVID-19 is still having a devastating effect on our lives, and so in these final prayers we will pray for issues relating to this pandemic. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scientists who are working on finding an effective vaccine, and we pray for their success. We give thanks too for NHS staff who are working so hard to protect us and care for the sick. And now we're going to bring to God our friends and family, and especially those in our Christchurch family who are suffering as a result of this virus. I will pause briefly after each section so that you can think of specific people and you may like to call out their names. We pray for those feeling isolated and fearful. We pray for those with underlying health conditions, for those awaiting hospital appointments or operations, for those recovering from operations, for those who have been bereaved, for those who have lost their jobs or who are worried that this is going to happen, for those suffering financial hardship as a result of lockdown, for all of us, that we may never forget that we are family and find ways to love and serve one another, even though we can't yet meet together in the church building. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Maggie. And let's finish off our time together by saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today, and may God bless you as you go into the rest of the week. Thank you for joining us. Bye. God bless you.